following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the opinions of the staff or management of Visionary Related Entertainment.
I was drawn to a place in the sun with the ocean and
mountains. Hello, I'm Ori Kopelman, host of the show Mauitopia. And today with me, I have a very special guest. Her name is Linda Green, and I'll be introducing her. Why don't you say,
hi there.
And I'll be reading her, tell you who she is in just a minute. Before I do that, I want to read what the show is all about. This is the definition of Mauitopia, which is, Mauitopia will be an ideal utopian society of the future, a first-of-its-kind place in the world on the scale of over 100,000 people, where thanks to technology, all of us have our survival needs met of food, clothing, and shelter while pursuing our individual self-actualization, a place where we'd find true happiness by each contributing our unique gifts to the community, a place where we can all coexist in peace and harmony with no crime, and where we can all help each other grow and succeed. Mauitopia's free market economics will be based on regulated capitalism and make the island a real paradise, Maui truly no ka'oi. In Mauitopia, we all win as we serve the rest of the world as a model of the society of the future.
Hi there. I want to share, before we find out about myself, a little bit more about Ori's background. His name is Orion Ori Kopelman, and he's spent the last 25 years of his career helping companies develop technology rapidly. He's lived on Maui for 20 years, and he founded a management consulting firm in 1992 in Northern California. It's called Global Brain, and Global Brain taught clients worldwide his GRPD, Quality Rapid Product Development Methodology. This resulted in companies thriving through developing products in half the time at half the cost, with substantially less pain, less corporate dysfunction, and more profit. A former Silicon Valley executive as vice president of engineering, Ori helped Mountain Computer grow tenfold in 6 years to $120 million in annual revenue. He taught QRPD at Stanford University's Continuing Studies program and at the University of California Berkeley Extension for about 15 years. He holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Electrical and Computer Engineering with distinction from Stanford University. Having grown up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and in Israel, he speaks English, Hebrew, German, and French. He was a high school state tennis doubles champion. He spent a decade as a Rotarian and chaired the polling station in Kula for several elections. Ori is engaged in personal growth since 1990, including meditation, and he believes in transformation through heightened awareness. He attends Grace and Unity churches and lives with cats Eva and Calvin in Kahului, Maui, Hawaii.
Thank you, Linda. And Linda Green has a Bachelor of Science degree in Mechanical Engineering from Purdue University with 17 years of experience in the following industries: automotive, I think specifically General Motors, consumer electronics, which include RCA, computer-aided design and solids modeling, medical product development and manufacturing, optical networking, and lasers, and she has also traveled internationally implementing just-in-time manufacturing principles to companies with substantial cost savings. Linda resides in South Maui, teaching courses and providing private heart sessions as a certified heart instructor with Programs of the Heart Incorporated. She has been a heart instructor in Colorado previously since 1998 and now on Maui since 2004. Linda has also been a licensed real estate broker, mortgage broker, and real estate investor and property manager in Colorado, and completed courses in a Master of Arts degree program in transpersonal psychology counseling at Naropa University in Boulder, Colorado, between the years 1994 and 1999. Linda was also the social director of Unity Church in Boulder. as well as did fundraising. As you can tell, you've got two engineers on the radio, and the name of the program today is called Engineering a Society of the Future, or Make It So, which was what they say in Star Trek. And we're going to talk about, I mean, this is something that, again, has probably never been done in real world. I mean, Star Trek is not a real society on planet Earth, but there's lots of things that we like about Star Trek. What are some of the things, Linda, that you like about Star Trek?
Well, one of the things I like is, at least from the television show and the movies, is it looks like they have their survival needs really met. And they have health issues taken care of. It looks like they have these little sensors they can just wave up and down your body, and they can figure out what's wrong and then just resolve it on the spot,
right,
or have a little surgery or something. And so that would be something really, really wonderful to have as in a utopia society, is health issues addressed, and also just basic structures of the society just running smoothly.
So nobody would be using a walker like I do. That would all be taken care of in a quote-unquote surgery, right?
Correct.
Yeah. That's
correct.
Nice thing they had in the movie Elysium. They showed that, right?
Right.
All right. So that's one of the nice things we like about Star Trek. The other thing I like is everybody kind of knows what his job is on the space station. And doesn't complain too much, pretty much just does what he's expected to do. At the same time, they all, the Enterprise, follows the Prime Directive and Starfleet rules at all times. You know, that's one of the things I've mentioned before in this program. It's not like I love every single rule on Maui. However, as a citizen of Maui, and in the future Mauitopia, I, number one, have to obey the rules that we have now, whether I like them or not. And if I want to change them, there's a process we have for rewriting our laws. The other thing about Star Trek that I like is that each episode has a mission, that they're trying to do something, and usually they run into some kind of problem, but they end up somehow accomplishing their mission, and that's why the book I have in my hand is called Make It So, which has Captain Picard from the new generation of the Star Trek.
Is it a commercial?
Excited when I listen to that, and I've probably watched all of the episodes on DVD. In fact, I own them. But regardless, it's a society of the future that, again, is probably not something we can implement here on Maui, but we can learn from it. Now, one of the reasons we talk about engineering a society of the future, somehow that's different than just implementing or building a society. So what are some of the things, Linda, that you and I have been taught as engineers?
Well, there's a lot of problem solving and designing around trying to estimate things of the future,
right,
for, you know, structures and systems and energy creation and just meeting all the people's needs and things like,
right,
that. So it's a lot, but a lot of it is approximation, and we can't necessarily take into account all the different variables. And
there's always unknowns that come up. And
there's unknowns.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if this is a good time to talk about it, but I kind of like to take, since I'm an engineer, but I also like to work with the heart, I like to have it be a combination of skills, I guess, or because sometimes, and when I say the heart, it's like the higher guidance that supports the whole of creation. That needs to be, I think, in the forefront in conjunction with the engineering design and principles, because sometimes there's things that we can't take into consideration and we might get that information from inside or from these higher perspectives, higher consciousness. So,
and that's fine as far as, I think there's nothing wrong with doing that together with engineering.
It needs to be together, yeah.
I guess they call it, I wrote a book 20 years ago, and I talked about synergizing technology and consciousness.
Yes.
Kind of combining the two to get an even greater result.
Yes. And
now, it's still about cost. I mean, it's not like we can just waste a bunch of money, because, again, we are ultimately, first and foremost, trained as engineers, who are used to making trade-offs as far as things being economically viable. There are things that, again, like Star Trek, if we want to build a Star Trek village, which Cindy Paulus suggested last time, that probably is not a small expenditure. Somebody might choose to do that as an investment of a attraction here on Maui, but it's not something that, I don't think of a way that we could implement that for Mauitopia. Again, I don't know if somebody can always come with an idea, but at this point there are no economically viable ideas for that.
You can benchmark projects, though. I'm from Boulder, and Boulder benchmarks a lot of projects.
Absolutely.
Like, they were one of the leading people in recycling, and so we can set up and prototype things for all of humanity and then take them back. You know, Mauitopia can be the prototype utopia for the rest of the world, and just implementing certain systems, culture, sustainability, if you want to get into that, whatever makes sense.
Well, absolutely, because the goal, again, is for us to have the model society. You know, society has existed for thousands of years, and it hasn't been all bad. I mean, there have been some good things. As I've mentioned in this show before, obviously war and physical violence is something that is not going to be part of Mauitopia. And to a great extent, it's not even part of Maui, even though there is some physical violence occasionally. But again, in Mauitopia, there would be none. We have enough disagreements that we can have verbally. That's, you know, no need to get to the physical part. So that would be part of Mauitopia.
There's also been great headway in communication skills in the last 20 years. We keep getting better and better as humankind in communicating, things like nonviolent communication.
NBC.
And all kinds of skills that we can, you know, have be integrated into the utopian benchmark, Mauitopia.
I think that's really a necessary part of it, actually. Too many times people say something and you don't really get what they're saying, but you just kind of move on.
And the speaking from the heart is very important. Learning how to know you're coming from the heart versus the mind, the past, with reaction, with charge, things like that. It's well received if it's coming from a place of love and, you know, teaching or that kind of thing, rather than just reacting.
Yeah. Were you the person who taught me years ago to put my hand on my heart?
Yes.
Which I have been doing. Because, again, not that the heart has the only information, but that is a very vital piece of information. And, again, your head and your rational brain is still going to make decisions about how to get to my house. You know, I mean, I'm not asking the heart to do that. But at the same time, the heart says whether I want to go to my house or whether I want to go to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a decision that I think the heart should have some input on.
And the heart may trump the rules. You know, I don't want to go out and break rules, but we were talking earlier about the last Star Trek movie.
Yes.
I don't remember the name of it, but I loved it because it showed that Captain Kirk actually broke the rules to save Spock's life, and he actually almost died. He would have normally died, but something came through and saved him or restored him. I think he went into a nuclear reactor or something, and that he broke his...
I remember now the episode.
Yeah, he broke the rules to save one person's life, and ultimately, I think he got fired in the beginning for breaking a rule or doing something similar, but ultimately his leadership surpassed and saved the whole ship or something, not only one person's life. So there are times when it's the heart's guidance that, you know, you have to follow that over the rules, but... You know, most of the time it's in alignment with the rules. So.
Perfect. And somebody just walked into the studio.
Yeehaw.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Aloha. You look great.
Great show. I was listening to you. Fabulous.
Can I put on some headphones or something?
Thank you.
The ones right in front of you? Sure. So this is Patricia Watson, who the song that was playing right when the show started is called Maui Man, which Patricia issued this CD 20 years ago called Maui Man, and that's the title from the CD. And were you going to try to sing it?
Well, oh, sure. Absolutely.
Or I have.
Let me play my little instrument here.
Yeah, exactly.
Play the desktop. No, if you want, I'll sing along with it. Sure.
Yeah. We could play the whole song. I mean, we did a 15-second intro to the show.
Oh, wow. I get 15 seconds on it.
Yeah. Well, every week.
Oh, how are you, Ryan? Good to see you.
I'm good.
Good show, by the way. Really interesting.
Thank you. What?
I love the integration of Star Trek. I've always been a Trekkie myself.
So. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, now there's three of us here. Gary, are you a Trekkie? Oh, we got four.
Give me up, Gary. We've eaten all the lithium crystals, Captain.
The next generational thing.
It's good for the next generation, for the younger people. I mean, I would much rather them be Trekkies than farters.
Yeah.
You know, or, yeah.
And one of the things, I don't know if I'm on, but is interesting is, sometimes when you see these creations, these engineering designs in these movies that just come from an idea, we are able to actually manifest them later.
Mm.
So even if it's a far-fetched thing, it seems to kind of sometimes manifest or unfold later, which
absolutely
gives us hope.
Everything's already in the air. It's already created.
Yeah.
We just have to plug in and love it.
We reverse engineer the idea.
Too many times my mother in Michigan says, I'm cooking such and such for dinner. I'm like, I wish you could bean that over here.
That's right.
So I could have some of it.
Uh-huh.
But you're saying someday we'll be able to, since we have already
envisioned. We have the idea. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, so shall we...
Yeah, go for it.
Actually, we can choose whatever... I guess we can play all of Maui Man, or we have Soulmates here, and...
Magic Hour is the one out in video, but no, Maui Man's cool.
Okay.
Let's do Maui Man.
That's
this is about
first
Maui
song, I think. Yes.
And can I talk over it as we go? Okay. Hey.
So you just came from Japan?
I did.
Huh.
Yeah, I did a cruise ship singing there all through it, like Hong Kong for New Year's and all the ports in Japan, all Japanese, and just fabulous. Oh my gosh.
How's your Japanese?
Which guy are you talking about?
You're still speaking English.
Konnichiwa and all that stuff.
Uh-oh.
Arigato de gozaimashita.
Arigato is the total sum of my Japanese.
Yeah. Play away, Gary. Okay, this song was written underwater, snorkeling. And I was snorkeling at the time with Wayne Nishiki. Came up and I said, Wayne, get me a guitar. I got to write this song. Because Maui, to me, is the greatest place on earth. So this is a metaphor. Maui Man is a metaphor to Maui.
I was drawn to a place in the sun.
Can I hear it a little louder, Gary?
Where the ocean and mountain and sky are one. It is part of a much higher plan. Maui Man.
I hear it.
Where the upcountry slides to the sea. And the rainforest waterfalls shout melodies. Under stars at night he touched my hand. Maui Man.
That was in Hana, by the way.
Maui Man, feel the rain. Maui Man. He's a boy with a surfboard, the right wave coming somewhere out there. Precision on the crest of the swell. Laughing with wild abandon as paradise child. Fighting to lead to this beautiful island from ones who would make it hell.
Of Henry Allen on steel guitar and Farron on French horn. I thought it was nuts, but it was a beautiful mixture.
Maui Man, feel the rain. Maui Man, I'll take your pain. Maui Man, near the crater's rim vortex embrace. Under full moon, bright heavens, and green trees of lace. With a ginger and jasmine on cool breezes stand. Maui Man.
It's a love story.
Maui man, feel the rain. Maui man, I'll take your pain. Maui man, catch the sun. Maui man.
Typical artist.
George Benson Studio.
I was drawn to a place in the sun where the ocean and mountain and rainbows are one. It is part of a much higher plan. Maui man. Maui man. Feel the rain. Maui man. I'll take your pain. Maui man. The sun, Maui man, your time has come. Feel the rain, Maui man, I'll take your pain. Maui man, catch the sun, Maui man, your time has come. Maui man, your time has come.
Mahalo.
It's still as good or better than you were 20 years ago.
I know. Like, people think, you know, I was listening to Tina talking about the Tina Turner saying the glory days. She says the glory days are now. This is now. Those are all just part of our, like, happy times and whatever, learning experiences. But everything's a rehearsal. This is all we got is right now. So it's the best time.
Yeah, and what's wonderful about you is you really feel what you're doing. You hear the song in your heart or your head or whatever, and you're doing what you're kind of born to do.
Well, you know, I was listening to folks on the way up, mm-hmm. and you know how much I love you, Orion. I've known you forever, and
very
fascinating. Any woman that is up there, pioneers of our time, you know. And you're talking about everybody kind of knowing their place on the Star Trek
yes.
ship, you know. And it's kind of, I was walking the deck New Year's Day, and I always ask God for a word. You know, give me the word for the year. Last year was joy. Year before was integrity. This year was creativity. So in every way I do. And then I was feeling, I need to be more disciplined this year. I'm such a right-brained artist. And then as I'm playing to all these wonderful, incredible Japanese players on this beautiful piano and everything was perfect, the voice was coming through me saying, but I need my artists too.
Yeah.
I need my free spirits. I don't want you to be disciplined because you might miss something I'm trying to give you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think our place to know it, whether it's an engineer who puts things together and makes it happen, or one who picks up from the ethers and travels the world at a moment's notice and raises kids and does all that stuff,
right.
That's okay to do that. It's really okay.
And one of the things that's really neat, I think, about Maui is there are lots of people here who have integrated those two sides.
Yes.
And that's why Maui is a very creative place. And there were a lot of us, including myself and you and Linda, who were drawn here. We don't really know why.
I was
why.
Drawn to a place in the sun. Exactly. Yeah.
That's why when you sang that song 20 years ago, remember I told you at the Kapalua Bay Hotel?
Yes.
I was like,
oh. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. I remember Janet Stewart, the artist, saying to me once, she said, I said, Janet, you go from island to island. What island do you like best? She goes, the hardest thing in the world is to pick up from one island to go to the other. And then once I get there, I don't want to leave that island. Mm-hmm. She said, it's the only place in the world where I can get up, put my feet on the ground, and I want to create.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, wow, that sounds like me. She's a pista.
And it's, like I said, it's a lot of us here on Maui have come to be creative.
Yes.
And if you look at some of the ideas and things, it's just an incredible community. And again, that gives me hope for creating Mauitopia, because people are not walking a standard path. On the other hand, of course, it is challenging in that everybody is becoming uniquely who they are, and I think communication, and we talked, Linda, about that earlier on, United, communication between people is extremely important. I mean, artists tend to, for the most part, work on their own, whether it's painters like Savon or people like you, you need, and or me as a writer, because I've written 4 books, I need that time and freedom of mind to do that. However, at the same time, I need to communicate with other people, including my editors and other people. And
Recharge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Recharge, enlighten each other?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
You were talking about using, is it NVC, nonviolent communication?
That is one of the methods, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just speaking from your heart, you know, which can be real time in the moment.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make a comment that even scientists, they download, like, creation too, like artists, like Einstein. You know, we would never have had his designs if he just did the standard protocol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was available for the new information. So I think that's key for whatever role we take to be open.
Inspired.
It's how to get it. One of the things that I found recently was that Beethoven was not paid by this sponsor that he had to write music. He was paid to walk from sunrise to noon every day in the forest. That's what the man paid him for.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew within that he was downloading the information from God. Bach always said it was like when you translate it, downloading from God.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing it. So to give yourself that time. But I know when I was coming back from Japan, because you're isolated on a ship with people that only speak Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the people that work the ship. But a lot of time to just let new information come through. I could hardly wait to get back to my friends, like Barbara Hanger, who is very creative artist, interior decorator. Lydia Panzik, my co-writer singer that we've toured a lot of Europe with, and Orion too, Rob and Nora Finberg, my friends, because it's in within this energy, Diane Winter, this energy that we light each other up, mm-hmm. and we give ourselves the laughter and the energy to go ahead. When we speak from the heart,
mm-hmm.
we try and do it through love,
mm-hmm.
rather than just through our anger at mm-hmm. the moment or mm-hmm. our desire to, you know, make our point known.
Mm-hmm.
We actually can raise that vibration
mm-hmm.
and create that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank my friends for that.
Mm-hmm.
And anger has its point, its place too, because that's part of what God has given us, right? So we have to integrate all of those emotions as well as the creativity.
I don't want to.
You don't want to?
I'm sorry. I've spent my whole life trying to get
rid of
anger. And
oh.
even when I get my kids coming at me with an anger, you know, you did this, it's like, okay, I will react because I'm Italian.
Oh.
And you want to dig out those demons, let's go. You know, but how do you feel? Do you feel like in the Ignatian exercises, which is what the Jesuits studied for over 400 years, you feel consolation or desolation after you do it? Do you feel good about it or do you feel empty? And when you feel empty, don't go that direction anymore. Like, stand back, give it some time, get back into the space of love, and try and re-communicate.
Right. Actually, somebody got in trouble because they got angry and they hit a vending machine in my building. And they got in trouble for that, obviously.
How much? Did you go to jail?
Not me. Oh, jeez. No, actually. And I said to the security guard, actually, he was telling me the story, and I said, it's okay to be angry. What they usually tell you is to grab a pillow, and you can hit the pillow as hard as you want and get as much of your anger out on the pillow. It's not going to do damage to property and certainly not to people.
Yeah.
So for me, I have had a lot of anger in my life. I've done a lot of therapy on it, and I've learned that the good part about anger is it's a motivator.
Yeah.
Like, for example, even just for myself, it's like, darn it, I need to move ahead. Even in a relationship, it's like, you know, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
You know, I've done this, I've tried too many times, and it's time to go. Doesn't mean I have to vent the anger at a person.
I get it, Orion. I mean, I'm still there, but I'm really believing, especially after being to all these, I mean, I'm very Catholic, but I went to many Zen Buddhist temples and all, I go to visit these places and sitting in that 750-year-old Buddha singing songs inside the Buddha, you know, when it's cast iron from 700 years ago.
Yeah.
I understand that if you can move your frequency up to the next level, you don't even need to hit the pillow because there is nothing that can be done because you're in the present.
Hmm.
That is all. It's all just little thorns from our DNA and the human sin or whatever the condition. Try and rise above that. And I think Maui is
watching,
the place to do that.
Watching yourself is helpful. Being in that state of observation, watching and kind of detaching from yourself and having an anger management protocol too, your own, that works, and practicing it and being proactive.
Yeah, for me the best thing is take 5 seconds to remove yourself from the situation and just breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good idea.
yeah, anyways.
I like the ocean myself.
Oh.
To me, that's the ultimate healer. I couldn't wait to get in the ocean. It was raining yesterday. I was still in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you were just telling me about that you were close to a dolphin. I mean, a whale.
Yeah, we went on a beautiful whale watch yesterday. It was just beautiful.
And, yeah, fantastic.
Beautiful. Just tons and tons of whales.
Good. I haven't seen one yet. I just got back, so I'm looking
amazing.
Forward to it.
It was amazing. So.
Yeah, the little things in life. I mean, the big things, but that's a
but again, that's what I think is required for Maui Topia is for each person to be singing their song.
Because,
again, we each have, our spirit has come to Earth with a song that we have to contribute to the rest of society. And if we just sing that song, and that's just part of our everyday life, then it's going to work out for everybody.
Yeah, I used to think that, because that would always appear to me if there was business. There could be no song because you don't have any room for it. But now I'm realizing some people sing the song of business.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
They love it. They sing it. It's just in how, again, individually, how we give our song out. Mm. Now, you can give it with joy. I mean, I've heard a lot of people sing, and I'm like, I just want to get out of the room because not that they want to make me cry. It's just they're so intense. It's like there's no real love or there's no connection with the song or their mind's someplace else. And you know, but when you connect with the oneness of who you are, the Hawaiians call it the huna, the three spirits, Unipili with the ohana, with the amakua, the three connect together in the huna, and connect that, all of a sudden they say, yeah, things can manifest. Well, of course, because we're in our power, then we're not scattered and fragmented all over the place. You know?
Yeah, it's funny because 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, when I started therapy, that was the first criticism, was to be careful in terms of my intensity level. And I would get too intense about something, trying to accomplish an objective. And so 30 years later, I still get intense about doing things. But just the way I express it may not be the way I did it 30 years ago. And that's, again, back to communication. I mean, I definitely am intense about having created the show Mauitopia and the fact that both of you are here, which is wonderful. And it's
you got two blondes.
Right.
Give me a break, Ryan. Come on. We know you always like blondes.
Doesn't everybody?
Well, the Japanese sure do.
So what is your heritage, actually? You guys are...
Well, I'm Canadian, born.
I know. You said you're Italian.
My mother is second generation Italian from up near Venice area.
And she was blonde, or...
Well, she is now. Oh. She's 92. She's
my God.
No, we call her platinum. We don't do grays. We don't do silver. Yeah, she was, they were darker hair, but, you know, still northern Italy.
Okay.
And my dad's Scottish-Irish, six generations Canadian, so, you know, not that Canada has a culture, but we're such a blend of, you know, everybody.
Right.
And then it becomes, it's not even culture anymore. It's individual, and it's what frequency do you operate at? You know, and if you look clearly, you can almost see there's the crab in the bucket, low ones, and you love them just where they are. That's where they are. Mm-hmm. Love them and love them more. And, I mean, God loves us just where we are and keeps giving it to us. So why don't
and
we just...
And forgives us.
Well, thank God.
How about your heritage, Linda?
50% Scottish, 50% English. So Anglo-Saxon.
Got it.
From where?
Indiana.
Okay, so how many generations back, if you don't mind my asking?
I'm not sure, but I'm related to the founder of Indiana and also presidents of the United States and people that have signed the Declaration of Independence and Mayflower.
Very cool.
Not a daughter of the American Revolution, though.
Not sure about that one.
Oh, okay.
So you're pretty American.
I'm very, very American. Been here a while.
Yeah. And how long on Maui?
On and off since 1999 and more permanently 2009.
Yeah, I came 91. Was when I came.
I came 92.
I remember.
Yes. And I was sitting in the Kapalua Bay Hotel.
Kapalua.
Exactly.
Yep. That was a great meeting.
Do we have that song?
Oh, of course we do.
Okay. Do you want to play it?
No. Let's talk. Sorry. You can play it another time, though. Anytime. Okay. Yeah. You're so welcome to.
Oh, I was going to say that I am not blonde.
I noticed.
I am. This is my natural hair.
Yeah, but you have light eyes.
Dark brown. Yeah. And my hair... heritage is European in terms of Austria. Actually, my parents were both born in Vienna, Austria. And our heritage is basically from the Austria area or Russia, Western Russia.
Right.
Or and my mom has some descendancy from Poland.
That's my phone.
I mean, I told you.
It's one of my kids trying to attract me. Well, this is great. So you really think you can build a society here on Maui? Is that the whole idea of this? There is a society on Maui. I'm not saying
the name
that.
Of the
program you're trying to make a better, more perfect society where people don't steal, where they have integrity with each other. You know, that kind of thing? Is that
yes.
what you're, is that what you're
That's
saying?
That's the long-term vision. Right. And people say, well, that's impossible, right? And I said, well, it is today. But again, one of my lessons, and it will be for a while, is patience. And it's not going to happen overnight, but hopefully if it happens in 20 or 30 years, that would be great. Because there's never been a society on Earth that's been like that.
With the Bible, it says, with God, all things are possible. So, you know, just stay in tune with the divine, you know?
Yes.
And stay, keep there. It's very easy to be human and drop down, but we have a divine nature also, and, you know.
And if we all do tap into our divine nature, why should there be any crime?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I come from, seriously, Japan amazes me. They were cut off for 250 years from the rest of society, and they have an honor. I bring free spirit to Japan, and they bring discipline to me in many ways. But you can go out on the street, literally, and see 250 bicycles lined up and not one lock.
Yeah.
Also, you can lose something, and it will be there when you return, even if it's a month later or sent to the lost and found, unless a tourist takes it. They just don't. Steal. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't think of harming another person, human being, and it's about that.
It's an honor thing, right?
And that respect is so perfect.
Yes.
You know? I leave there, I work for a month, they say, have a good vacation. They're sure I'm coming back because you work for life. When you get a good company, you want to be there for life. So, I mean.
Are you going back?
Listen, my free spirit, I go wherever God sends me, I say yes or no, and I'm going to continue to live like that. I was going to change a little bit New Year's until I got that message. I thought, no.
Well, you're supposed to live your dream in 2014.
Who says that? Did you make it up?
I tried to come up with a rhyme for 2014, and that was the closest thing
I'm glad
I came
you
up
did
with.
Not. Obscene.
It's a lousy one. But if anybody can think of a better rhyme, actually, we should give the phone number.
Do a contest. What do you got to give out as a winning gift?
Not your CD, because this is the only copy I have of it.
Oh,
I was the
okay.
executive director of it 20 years
ago. You will? I'll leave you a Soulmate CD you can give out. No, I got another one.
The Soulmate CD?
Mm-hmm. With Japanese cover.
Oh, okay, because this is my only copy of the Soulmates. Okay, so we're giving away a Soulmates CD with a Japanese cover to the person who calls at 242-7800. Again, that phone number is 242-7800.
With a rhyming word.
Oh, and you have to give us a rhyming word for 2014. Every year when I write New Year's cards, these days it's emails, but you say something like, may you thrive in 2005 or something, right? They're all, every year seems to have an easy rhyme. I could not come up with anything for 14.
Okay, well, we're going to get the audience on it.
All right.
Get your creative hats on while you're at the beach and having a beer and get on your cell phones and call in. What's the number again?
242-7800. Thank you so much. So you guys can't come up with a rhyme for 14?
What was the one you just said? I like that one.
Have a dream. Live your dream in 2014.
I like that one.
It's
doesn't
close.
Rhyme. It's not rhyming.
It
is
almost close. Rhymes.
Yes, it almost rhymes. Mm-hmm. Live your dream.
Yeah.
As good as you seem. No, 14. No, it got an N with an N. Okay.
I've worked on it long enough.
I got obscene. That's
may you be obscene in 2014.
Okay.
Okay, what's another idea you have for engineering something here?
For Mauitopia?
Yeah.
Well, sustainability keeps coming up, you know. And Maui is such an isolated place. And we already have a utopia here. We really do. We just have to fine-tune it. And like you said, the crime issues and that kind of thing, and love. You've talked about love and remaining open to new ideas. So it's just integrating all of that, really.
What about the expense of living here? I find housing is so expensive and hard to get for people that actually live here.
I
hard
agree.
To get places. The food, I guess, is okay, but people have to have 2-3 jobs just to survive. So they no time with their children, no time with
some of that is because we ship and import it so much stuff. And if we could start having our own energy sources, our own food sources, and we're sustainable, we're independently sustainable. people from shipping stuff in. And that's also a national security thing,
issue.
Or not national, but, you know, a security
Island
issue.
Island security, yeah.
So that if something happened where we were cut off from the world, we would be, it wouldn't be chaos.
Yeah,
so we really need to start preparing for that.
Okay, not being a pot smoker myself, because I quit years ago, but I'm seeing what's going on in Colorado, and they're talking actually in the billions of dollars that they're going to tax with that they're going to put feed into their education system. Now, that is a big possibility for Hawaii, obviously, because we have the land.
I'd prefer to focus on hemp, you know. And that's also a different subject, because that's, you know, you can tax that, but... You know, I just saw a film recently that was very interesting on hemp for all the uses, clothing, building materials, fuel, and it's actually really good for the soil, and it grows like a weed, because it is a weed, and that's why they call it weed. And it actually, people were concerned about marijuana, actually, you know, the
THC.
And it you can't grow it together, because the cross-pollination would make bad marijuana, because the THC is so much lower. Yeah. So... You know, things like that might be helpful to, I mean, they're imminent. We could implement them.
Well, they have started doing that in different states in the United States, and I personally am for legalization of marijuana, because, yes, it's going to intoxicate you, but so does alcohol, which is legal and has been legal for a long time, except during prohibition, which that didn't work. So today, alcohol is legal, and if alcohol is legal, pot should be too, in my opinion. And again, I've only tried pot and have not used it. I'm not a person who likes to use it, but...
You didn't inhale?
I did inhale. Oh, my God. Pat. Yeah. I tried a little bit, and I said, it's not really working. So somebody who was with me said, well, why don't you try... Inhale more. Take a lot. And then the whole room was spinning for the rest of the night, and I could not make it stop.
Oh, God.
It was horrible.
Well, you got to come to the party on Monday.
No.
So anyway, and also I see what they're doing with the film business here again, which is good, because that brings money in, but it's not... You don't have to sustain it. You know, you don't have to house, they just pay. It's not like you have to create an industry. And,
I'm from Boulder. I don't know if you knew that. I lived 20 years in Boulder. So they have a lot of, systems that we can model. One of them is affordable housing. They have an incredible affordable housing program that we have a little bit of one, but it really makes it so it helps people afford to live here that are local people. And then also, what was the other thing? Anyway, there's a lot of environmental programs. Oh, open space. They protect their nature so much. Yeah. They use tax dollars and things like that, but we need to implement. I think, you know, all these different places have things that we can watch and learn from and then implement, and Boulder's a great place to watch some of their systems or programs, maybe implement some here, maybe not. I think we should watch the marijuana legalization, see what happens. Sometimes we act too soon. They're being the prototype. Let's watch and see what happens with that.
Yeah, some people obviously disagree as far as legalization. They say that it creates all kinds of drunk driving accidents and things, side effects, I guess, so we can watch it. Although, again, the benefit would be taxation. The government
You've also got a stone society, you know, so you got to decide what's...
It's
but you're right, watch
line.
It. I like your ideas. I think you'd have a great radio show with her and some housing people.
We've got another call, a call coming in.
Oh, great.
Hello, my name's Ori Kopelman. You're on the Mauitopia Radio Show. Who are you?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, what's your name?
Oh, my name is Shaviti Abyssinia, the Triple Powers of Prayer.
Of course, Abyssinia. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you for stimulating me to call. Okay, what I want to say is I have a dream in 2014.
Fantastic.
Okay.
What do you think, Pat?
I think it's very close to the one you have already.
Yeah, I said live your dream in 2014.
But I have a dream in 2014. Very good. Well, you're at the top of the list so far, so make sure we get your information.
Okay, sounds good.
Aloha. God bless.
Can you write down her information? So
you could ask her if she has any questions, anything she wants to share. No?
I think she's...
She's gone.
Yeah. They were getting her information. Yeah. I thought it was pretty close. You know Abyssinia and the purple VW bus that she drives? Yeah, I've known her for years.
Yeah, cool.
Somebody actually, Jarrell, my good friend, just mentioned her the other day.
He's the one that had that saying. I heard that saying from him or one similar.
He's the person who told me it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it came from him. We should give him credit.
Absolutely.
So,
But your idea is very good.
We need to be careful, because you were talking earlier about the different levels and raising the consciousness and being very aware and observing and all this stuff and raising our consciousness. So we have to be careful about what we allow that might lower that.
Yes. Yeah.
And individually and, as a whole. So that's why I think we need to really observe and see what, if there's any short-term, long-term side effects.
Well, exactly. You can bring pornography into this place and gambling and all that, and that's going to tax it. But do you want that element? And obviously Maui has not wanted that element. That's why it doesn't exist here.
And
it could very easily. So I thank our politicians for keeping that out, because I don't want that element. I lived in Vegas 5 years.
Right.
I love living in Vegas, but it's Vegas. I can go there.
Right. And this is Maui, and we want it to stay Maui and not turn into a Vegas or turn into, we don't want to say a Boulder, but, turn into a...
Agreed.
No, I want it to turn into a Boulder on many levels with the, some of the programs I mentioned. But
we don't want their weather.
But I like that. I'm interested in what happened with the housing thing. I think that would make a great show, honestly. Because if you brought someone else on that was adamant about what's going on already, and then her ideas, and,
I know of some programs on trash utilization, recycling, revamping.
Switzerland, for example, they've been burning trash for years and using that energy to fuel in Lucerne, to fuel the area that it's burned in. The hospital was totally worked upon electrically by the fuel that's burned next to it. So, there's things that we could implement. Of course, they're costly, but maybe if we're going to do the marijuana thing, it would provide for these, as long as people didn't get in the way and take the money.
I don't know if you knew this, but I'm a manufacturing engineer. So most of my work was shipped overseas. So I really would like to see some programs that implement some jobs, like manufacturing on some level. Rather than, like, the taxation is a way to make quick money, easy money. And I'm sure there's manufacturing plants involved in producing marijuana even. But I'd like to see some, like, localized manufacturing that's not toxic, but gives people jobs.
Can they compete with that, though? You send things off to China, for example, and, you're paying cents on the dollar for people to do embroidery and make clothing and all that. And then you try and bring it to Hawaii, where you're going to pay, what is it? What's the minimum wage now here? In Canada, it's 10-something.
It's like 7 to 10.
Seven.
Or something.
Yeah.
It's very low.
Yeah.
But that's where we have to put value on human beings and value on handmade products or sustainability, where we become more, not isolated, but, not as localized.
Mm-hmm.
Localized energies, talents, where China couldn't maybe provide this service.
And then
look for those first.
The other thing you look at, too, is if you lower the housing prices, who's going to want to move here? Everybody
will.
Yeah, so, why wouldn't you want to live here if you could? And so there's all that. It's a big dilemma in a lot of ways.
It's all a matter of trade-offs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is something engineers are taught to to make those trade-offs. You were just telling me about, that I didn't know about this, that the mayor of Maui signed a deal where, you didn't know about it. Okay. Alrighty.
Is Mayor Alcala still there?
Yeah.
Yes.
I love him.
Yeah,
I love him. And Anne, oh my gosh.
Yeah, actually, I should mention this booklet. I have in my hand a booklet called Creating Mauitopia, Making Maui a Real Paradise. It's about 20 pages long, and it's available for free on the internet at mauitopia.org. And actually, the very first person who ever read this booklet, besides me, was Mayor Alan Arakawa. And I gave it to him and said, hey, what do you think about this? So he read it, and we ended up talking about it a few weeks later.
Yeah.
You shook your head?
No, that's great.
Oh, yeah. Right. And,
I'm happy about that.
Yes. He's a very intelligent, open-minded kind of person. But obviously this is not a political booklet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vision for the future, for something I'd like to see on Maui in the future. And I don't know, for example, it's never been done before in history. So is using the political system the right way to start implementing this? And again, I have said on this radio show that one of the things I would do if I did become mayor is to try to prototype having Mauitopia, like everybody doing what they love and are qualified to do in their job for the county. There's 2,600 county employees. So if we could get everybody not going to work and say, oh, I'm looking at the clock, at the watch all day long, saying, hey, when's Pauhana? But saying, hey, I love what I'm doing. Wouldn't that be neat?
And that'd be a great starting point.
Yeah.
You can't deny that.
It's an idea.
Yeah. The main thing is to keep the action rolling, too, accomplishing. And I know the mayor has accomplished a lot in his term. And so it's just keep finding the people that are able to accomplish things.
The doers.
The doers and the beers. You want to come from that state of being and have it come through you. But, you know, make sure that action's taken so it can unfold into this, you know, vision.
I love that, starting at that level. For me, I would also add, start at, have both levels. So while you're integrating this, you have people coming in to teach them how to change their thoughts, their thought process. So you've got the Wayne Dyers and that, who also live here, to come in and give workshops to this political group so that the egos become less and it's not about me, it's about us. And I've learned that from the Japanese. It's about us.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefit of this society. We have many Japanese in Hawaii. We have this integration, whether we know it or not. But what we have here that is no place else on the world is the aloha.
Mm-hmm.
And that great spirit and that beautiful thing. And it's being squelched in so many places because of the price to live here.
Mm.
That people have to outsource the beauty that they live in to do that. So I think... We've got it. I think it's a great idea, Ryan. Go for
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
One of the things I also had in my booklet, the reason I actually thought of it and brought it up, was that there are so many people, as far as cultural backgrounds, who already live on Maui. I think there's 14, you know, the Koreans, the Korean-Americans,
the Chinese-American Filipinos,
right? And we all live in harmony, right? And so that is the prototype for what we want for the rest of the world. Right, we all should be living happily together, each following our individual song and yet adding, not taking anything away from the rest of the society.
To live in harmony, though, you need humility.
Ah,
you need humility to live with anybody. I wasn't.
yes, you were.
I was looking through you. No, you're humble enough.
More so than the past.
Yeah.
A little bit.
No, humility is the key. That's one of the things I loved about Hawaii was humility. He's giving you a peace signal.
Oh, you're saying...
We love you, Gary. So did you cover everything?
I was just going to say Maui is definitely a melting pot.
Yeah.
And it's also an international hub. So
Of East meets West.
Yes.
You know?
East meets West.
Because many places in the States or Canada is mostly the Western world meeting. You know, you've got the Polish and the Western world and that. Now the Chinese, of course, are coming in. But when you get East meets West in Maui, it's fabulous.
Yes. And as you mentioned, the aloha spirit is a huge thing we have here in Hawaii, which I think will help us create Mauitopia.
And let's thank the Hawaiians for that.
Mahalo.
Yes, God bless
Mahalo.
Them.
Exactly.
Yes.
They're our founding heart fathers of the aloha.
Yeah. What about the new spiritual heritage center that's going to be opened up there?
Mm.
Talk about amazing. I just went through it with Rob Finberg. Mm. You guys want to Google something? Google Hawaiian Spiritual Heritage Center that's going to be opened here.
Mm.
And he's got people from Disney that are going to create these laser things. I mean, it's just amazing. But it's all real Hawaii and God's influence in Hawaii and how it brought this company together.
I'm Ori Kopelman with Linda Green and Patricia Watson, helping you live your dream in 2014 and do what you love for work as we engineer the society of Mauitopia on Maui. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Nice to meet you, Linda.
Nice to meet you.
With the ocean and mountain and sky are one, it is part of a much higher plan, Maui man. Where the upcountry slides to the sea, and the rainforest waterfall shouts melodies. Under stars at night he touched my hand, Maui man, Maui man.
I'm Gary Forsberg from the Visionary Radio News Center. State House Speaker Joe Suki said it's time to change the medical marijuana law, saying they're looking at it as a humanitarian thing rather than a financial thing. The Spencer